Welcome back to the Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. I'm Jeff Richardson. It's good morning again to Billy Baxter.
Hello, Richo.
To Ian Cover.
Yes, hello.
To Torch McGee.
Yes, good morning, Richo, and to everyone out there.
And to open the bowling with this segment, we've got a lot to get through. We've got our Facebook question, which was, who have you spotted on Grand Final week? We've also got to open the time capsule. But, Greg Champion, before we do any of that, we've got to dip into the mailbag.
Just a little bit of mail, Richo. Ross McElveen writes, quick question. I hear about the 10-cent refund at South Australian NT collection depots for soft drink bottles and cans. Does the same rule apply to old Could Have Beens cassettes I bought in the 80s? Yes, you should be able to get 10 cents a cassette at South Australian depots for your old cassettes.
Well, at our local rubbish tip recycling thing, there's a special bin for cassettes and VHS tapes.
Yeah, there's one for normal cassettes, and then there's one for Could Have Beens.
Diana Reynolds, now, this may be for this afternoon. A lot of this is for this afternoon type of material, Cover.
Yeah, in here on the ABC Grandstand?
Correct.
Yes, there's going to be a grassroots program presented by Adam White this afternoon as part of the Grandstand. That was the season that was, so he'll weave a bit of this stuff in today.
Have you heard of the Raymond Island Football League?
Yeah.
You have?
Is it as big as the King Island Football League?
I think it's smaller. It's one game a year. And it's here it goes. Diana Reynolds writes, today, the annual game in the Raymond Island Football League, it's Reds v Blues again, one win each. Players from 8 to 68, boys and girls, men and women, run around, proceeds to the Painesville Ambulance Auxiliary. So it's a all-in, all ages, all genders. Probably all numbers.
In a cage?
Loser leaves town. So, that's up there. Now, two emails about Strathfield. So,
Undefeated in the grand final.
Well, Storm's sixth year in the competition. We have five teams in the grand finals. And that's under-18s, A-grade, B-grade, B-reserve, etc. And Mick writes, from Strathfield, say, about Abandon the Bun, which we'll do next week because Billy, it was a popular song.
Billy would love you to Abandon the Bun.
Well, yes, Billy, very much so. You'll have to sing the song while wearing one.
Oh, well, thank you, champs. It just gets better and better. Mm.
Now, Mick from the Central Victorian Beer Appreciation Society, they sponsor a Strathfield, say, Storm player.
Okay.
They've made it very clear to that player that if he wears a man bun, sponsorship will be withdrawn.
As it should be. So, that's a remarkable story in 6 years that they're undefeated going for the flag and all. Because I remember going up there some years ago before they even started and they were only just talking about it.
It's extremely unusual for a team to be formed in regional Victoria.
Yeah, yeah.
And Leonie Patterson writes that we have magnificent support from our local community.
Mm. There you go.
There you go.
No man buns at Strathfield.
So. Are they playing Sandhurst in the grand final?
I think they are.
At the QE2?
Correct.
Yeah.
Today.
It's today.
And, Torchy, I know you're interested in the races. You said that at the start of the program. That's what you're focusing on. There's a lunch coming up in late October. I'll pass on the info to you, a charity lunch. And it's for the Susan Alberti Medical Research Foundation. Mm-hmm. We've had Susan on the show during the year.
Yes.
Susan was at the Helen Lambert Medal during the week.
It's on Friday the 23rd of October. Look at these names. You'd be much more happy in the company of Simon Marshall, wouldn't you? Simon O'Donnell, Simon Beasley. They're all called Simon.
Simons. They're just keeping it simple.
Colin Madden. You know Colin?
No, I don't think I do.
He's a part owner of Black Caviar, which had another foal this week.
Yes, it did, by Sebring.
Yes. Of course. Not by Waitley.
Been to two functions with Simon Marshall recently.
Yep.
Seeing him around. Nice. Gets along to a lot of functions.
Anyway, you can get more information from the Susan Alberti Medical Research Foundation or the Rotary Club of Brighton.
Mm. Excellent.
And that leads us to...
That wraps up the mailbag? Yep. Okay, it comes to our Twitter and Facebook question of the morning, and we were just meditating on the fact that during grand final week, you see people. Mm. People that you don't see all year or people that you never see in real life or people that you haven't seen for a long, long time, and we ask you to nominate who you've seen in grand final week. Billy, Andy, who have we got?
Thank you, Richo. Yes, I think... this is my favourite of the whole year.
Oh, really?
Yes.
You're going to go straight to the gold.
Yes, I am indeed. Yeah, Brett Ritchie.
Go up the guts, Bill.
Mm. Brett Ritchie. Many years ago, bumped into Wayne Harms in the MCG car park, just as he knocked the ball back towards the goals.
that gag will never,
will never die.
No.
Andy.
I've got one from Malky on the Twitter.
Yep.
I walked into the 91 GF at Waverley and bumped into the great man Greg Norman. Exchanged a few nothings and he said, "Can't we for kick-off?"
Was he there?
That was the height of his powers.
Height of his powers, exactly. Yeah.
Rebecca Greencow saw Craig Hutchison. He wanted free entry. I said no. I used to babysit him. His nappies were disgusting.
NSF.
Thanks for sharing those lovely memories.
I've got one from the email from Byron.
Hi, Byron.
My brush with fame was 2014 grand final week. Thought the family and I would dodge the crowds in the city and went to the museum to see an Aussie furniture exhibit. Couldn't find the entrance to the exhibit, but my 13-year-old footy umpiring Lion supporter looked right past 6'6" Jonathan Brown in a suit holding the Holy Grail itself and yells, "It says furniture exhibit this way."
Fantastic.
Yeah, funny. Captain Zero, 1995 in Melbourne, saw a mate from uni, hadn't seen in years. He saw me and ran off. He recalled he owed me $50.
Yeah, here's a chance to catch up with blokes that might owe you
Andy?
Something.
Yeah, this is one from Stephen Donoghue, who says, with the death of Mike Gibson during the week, Channel 9 commentator, the story was told of him going down to the 82 grand final. A man called Alex was sent to pick him up from Tullamarine on the morning of the game. It was Jezza.
What?
82 grand final.
And Torchy Swish, who we've spoken to today.
On the quiz.
Yes, reminds us that Bob Pratt ran into a truck.
That's right.
In 1935 during grand final,
against Collingwood, we reckon that Collingwood might have set it up.
Yes, he also saw Muhammad Ali as well, Torchy. And Buster Lemansky thought he saw Nige from North Fitzroy at the Brunswick Street Oval the day after the 2003 grand final.
There's been a lot of sightings of Nigel.
He thinks he was lost, though.
He may have. He hasn't been seen leaving the Age building, has he? Now he's in print.
I know.
Any more, Andy?
Yeah, I've got a couple more. One from Cameron Davies, who caught the same tram as Tim Rogers to the 96 grand final.
Mm-hmm.
And Phineas, our good friend Phineas.
Hello, Phineas.
Saw author Thomas Keneally wearing a swan scarf in Richmond grand final eve. Or it was a bloke who looked very like him.
Yeah.
And a lot of people do look like him.
Finn also tweeted that after his beloved Hawks won last night, he said the only thing that could make it better was seeing Billy Baxter in a man bun on grand final.
See, no, Phineas, he'll be
coming for you, Billy.
I'm expecting a lot of people to turn up to see that, Billy, next week.
After that, the mini-series has been on the telly featuring Peter Allen the last couple of Sunday nights.
Yes.
I was moved to remind my family that I was in the middle of the MCG in 1980 when Peter Allen performed before the game.
Oh, yeah.
And I was covering the big story for the 80 was the fact that Geelong reserves were in the grand final.
Of course.
And I think that might be the day of the Channel 7 jacket as well, just quietly. And I had an arena pass to go to the Geelong rooms on the far side of the ground after the match to do the interviews. And I was wandering back across the G, staring up at tall buildings. Because when you come from Geelong, the grandstands are tall buildings. And Peter Allen dashed onto the ground. I could have taken him out with a coat hanger. That would have been good in the miniseries.
Yeah, it would. And I'll finish off the segment with this rather sanguine contribution from Duncan Wade. On grand final day, a long time ago, I saw my self-respect arm in arm with my hopes and dreams off in the distance. I waved.
Think about that one.
What year was that?
Gee.
Doesn't
now,
say.
There's a poem that sends all the other poems back to the old bark hut. What have you got to finish us up there, Andy? Or are you
something
done?
Sanguine? As well?
I have one, and as a Melbourne supporter, I feel I can say this with the best possible intentions. Ian suggested that he bumped into the whole Demons player group in grand final week in Las Vegas.
Only you could have read that one out, Andy.
I know.
Yeah. Well, thank you for everyone who tweeted and Facebooked. They're all there online. You can find them from the Could Have Beens website, www.couldhavebeens.com.au. Now, it's preliminary final day. We have to open...
Oh, the time,
time capsule.
My favourite time of the year.
So Ian's getting out the... Has he got, what is it? Does it have a digital...
No.
Key now, or is it palm print recognition to open it? How does it work?
I've been inspired by Stan the Statistician. It's just an exercise book.
Going back to the week before round one.
Yes, and all the entries were in. I've had a good analysis of them too.
Oh,
yeah.
Good.
Everyone had, all five, and young Andy out there, all had Port Adelaide and Geelong in the eight.
Mm. Every one of us.
Mm. Well, so we're too short already.
Yes.
Right. But I dare say there's a few other experts in the same boat. In fact, a lot of people were tipping Port Adelaide to win the flag on the basis of last year's prelim. And four members of the panel, Richo, I'll name names, Billy, Champs, and Torch, all had the Gold Coast in their eights.
Yes. Sure, we didn't mean West Coast, did we?
Yeah, it must have been. Surely that was.
Fell for them.
I'll admit, I had Brisbane in there. Where did that come from? And anything of an odd nature also, yes, someone had... what am I looking for?
Did anyone have GWS?
Yes, they did. You did, Richo. You had GWS. You went far out.
They only just missed out.
Yeah, they did. Young Andy had Melbourne in, of course. So no one had the West Coast in the eight.
At all.
No. And no one had the Western Bulldogs in the eight.
Goodness gracious.
The best score was five.
So I was going to say, Richo have any of the top eight right?
Yes, he had Richmond, North Melbourne, Hawthorn, and Adelaide.
Four out of eight?
Yeah. The rest of us had five.
Wow.
Champy, you had Freo, they were still going. Sydney, Hawthorn, Adelaide, Richmond. Didn't know you knew that much about football.
It was just lucky having Adelaide, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was indeed. Billy, you had Sydney, Hawthorn, Freo, North Melbourne, Richmond. North are still going for you. Hawthorn are still going. Torchy, you've played league football. You had Hawthorn, Sydney, Freo, North Melbourne, Adelaide. Yes. Just snuck them into eighth. I had Hawthorn, Sydney, North Melbourne, Richmond, Freo. I'll fess up first for the wooden spoon. I had West Coast for the spoon. Surely I meant Gold Coast.
You were just a bit topsy-turvy.
I was under pressure having to write them all down.
Well, that's almost like holding the horse in the sweep that finishes last.
Richo and young Andy both had Essendon for the spoon. And Billy,
didn't miss by much.
Billy and Champs both had St Kilda. And Torchy had Melbourne.
Melbourne. Mm.
And as for the Coleman, I had the Tomahawk. Richo had Travis Cloak. Billy had Jared Roughhead. That might almost put you in the lead. Champs had Taylor Walker.
He'd be up there.
Buddy for Torch. And young Andy had Jeremy Cameron. Who kicked the most out of Cameron? Did Cameron kick more than Roughhead? I think he kicked 63 or something.
I think he did.
And your Brownlow's Monday night.
Yes.
I'll be barracking for Joel Selwood. Rich, I'll be barracking for Scott Pendlebury. Billy will be barracking for Nathan Fife. Who will poll very, very well early doors, and let's hope he hangs on. Because he what a performance last night.
Yes,
excellent. On one leg. Champy had Taylor Walker. He'll feature on the telecast. Perhaps not in the votes. Torchy, you went for little Gary.
He got injured.
Yeah, he'll get... He played... How many games did he play?
About four, I think.
He'll get 10 votes in each of them. and young Andy had Marcus Bontempelli. But Billy, you're in the box seat with your Nathan Fife.
That's quite awesome.
Anyway,
you know, in
we
fact,
are the we're the only people that do a time capsule. Not only that, we're the only people that open it.
That's right. Apparently, the bookies have already paid out on Nat Fife.
Have they?
Yeah, so... You should be queuing up now.
Well, they say the bookies know.
So they've already paid it. So what happens if he doesn't win? Do you have to go and give the money?
No, you don't. No.
No, you go to Greece.
And I was a long way off the pace with Jared Roughhead too. He only kicked the 49, but Josh Kennedy 78 and Eddie Betts 63. Jeremy Cameron also 63.
And Tex 59, so you weren't far off on the Tex scale.
I am an expert after all.
Yeah. Well, you've done well, champy.
Oh, there you go. But I think the biggest story out of the time capsule is you having the West Coast as the last.
What was that? See, that just... Well, that was to prove the point. And out of sight, out of mind. You, we know nothing about what's going on.
If you go back to the year before, I reckon you'll find that most of us had West Coast in the eight. Because they had a shocker, we all dropped off.
I did. And totally underestimated Adam Simpson's coaching ability.
Well, there you go. Footy is a funny game.
It is a very
funny game. The Could Have Been Champions on ABC Local Radio. It's time for more footy songs from you, champs. You reckon you'll do some?
I've got some just right here for you. And a new contributor, Dean Painter. So, boys, we are going to take a Dragon song.
Oh. Thank you.
And is this a first? Has a Dragon song ever been used?
You've done April Sun in Cuba before.
We have. Ah. It was training with the Gold Coast Suns in Noosa.
Whoa. Are you using the same one again?
A similar idea.
No, same tune.
Yeah. Is that my guitar mic on? Now it is. I'm tiring of Adelaide. Sure, it's been good fun. Fine wines and festivals, but I sure do miss my mum. Torquay and Anglesey, that's where I belong. Let me walk on a Bass Strait beach where it's freezing all year long. Take me to Cardinia Park in Geelong. Whoa. Tell the folks I'm on my way to Marks Creek tonight. That's right. Fine wines and festivals, but I sure miss my mum. Let me walk on a Bass Strait beach where it's freezing all year long, yes. Take me to Cardinia Park in Geelong. Tell the folks I'm on my way to Marks Creek tonight. That's right.
What number do you think they should give him, Billy?
Down there at the Geelong.
Well, number 9's available because James Kelly's retired. Number 20, Stevie Johnson's retired.
Give him 54.
Shawnee Wren, 52.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
20 would be appropriate.
Mm. I'm still thinking about Dragon.
Yeah.
Well, from Dragon to the Eagles, because Raghu Appadurai sends a lot of songs.
Hey, Raghu.
Raghu is a bit younger than us because he reckons he gets some songs knocked back on the grounds that they're talking head songs and stuff like that.
Mm. Well, so he's found the right era now.
Well, I said to him, play to our strengths. Mm. So he's gone up the guts with Eagles repertoire.
Mm. From Dragon to the Eagles. Yeah. It's all animals.
Well, that makes an omen, I think. Mm. The Eagles. Mm.
Oh, this could go for some time.
It's really hard to get to the start, isn't it? Luckily, there are not many lyrics.
We could invent punk rock while this is going on, Billy.
Yes, we could.
You could give the news and weather here. Yep. Crossing Nullarbor Highway, desert breeze in my hair, warm smell of roadkill in the Kalgoorlie air. Up ahead in the distance, and that's a Natanuiville. I've driven all this way to see the kangaroos get killed. Come on now.
Welcome to the Motel Subiaco. Such a foreign place, could be outer space. Tiniest rooms at the Motel Subiaco. Have to go outside just to change your mind.
Let's try that chorus again, boys. 2, 3, and.
Welcome to the Motel Subiaco. Such a foreign place, could be outer space. Tiniest rooms at the Motel Subiaco. Have to go outside just to change your mind.
Needs to be an extra verse about crowd behaviour.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it?
Again, just over the 40,000 again last night. So.
That's all at hot.
They need to go down to Burswood. It's going to be 60,000.
Yes, when you redo the song when they have the new stadium, It'll be Welcome to the Burswood Casino.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah, it's hard to get out of that one.
Once it gets going, you can't stop.
Yeah, that's it. And you need to stop, don't you?
Well, you do.
Greg Tuck, who this week alone sent 15-plus songs. Oh,
Tucky, you're prodigious.
Has he got a job? Well, it's time he got one.
Does he live in the Brill Building?
Someone told us he's a retired teacher. I think he told us himself.
Yeah. Well, given his output, I thought he worked in the public service.
We revisit one from earlier in the season, lads.
Oh.
They've been part of this mob so long, this crowd to which they belong. They travel in from Bundoora, Epping and Mill Park. They're impervious to pain. They still wear shorts and thongs in the cold and the rain. They make some noise on their arrival, 'cause they're proud of their survival. And the ump will hear from them if they pay a wrong free. They're the Magpie Cheer Squad, calling out in lingo other people don't even know. Yeah, the Magpie Cheer Squad, taking calls and texting on phones that are not their own. Better just leave them alone. Now there's only one free that's right, and that's a free to the black and white. All of the frees are mindless, crazy and biased. And if you don't agree with them, I wouldn't be getting into a disagreement. Don't discuss their education. Do not use the word probation. Above all else, do not make jokes about teeth, everybody. They're the Magpie Cheer Squad, calling out in lingo other people don't even know. Yeah, the Magpie Cheer Squad, taking calls and texting on phones that are not their own. Better just leave them alone. And to bring us to the conclusion of this little segment, an idea from Richard Evans, who has lots of goodies, and a bit of fun here, lads. He heard somebody say this week, someone said, who's on the Grand Final Entertainment? Mm. And when the answers were given, somebody said, well, at least it's not Meatloaf. Mm. And Richard Evans said, well, at least it's not Meatloaf is a good hook. And you know what? It is. So we searched for the right song.
Yeah.
And here we go. Get ready, Max Gorn in the booth.
Unmistakable sounds.
Well, there are lots of entertainers to put before the game. Legends and celebrities and fading household names. Me, I saw Meatloaf. He won't be back no more. Whatever they have this year, hear the fans all roar. Yes, come on, Max.
At least it's not Meatloaf. That's what they'll cry. Bay City Rollers, give them a try. Put on the Osmonds, try Hall and Oates. The captain and Tennille, but just not Meatloaf.
Get someone from Las Vegas who's played 500 shows. Tiny Tim Wayne Newton or Barry Manilow. Me, I like Lobo and also Boney M. But whatever we're subjected to, we won't see him again.
not meatloaf. That's what they'll cry. Give Helen Reddy or Barry White a try. Wings and Sir Paul or Tri-Hall and Oates. The captain and Tennille, but just not meatloaf. But just not meatloaf.
Now, just imagine the whole MCG singing along with that. And wouldn't everyone put their heart and soul into it?
I've got a feeling that meatloaf gags are going to go past Wayne Harms.
Might be remembered for longer.
Mike Brady, if you're listening, let's you and I duet that at the grand final parade.
Yeah, well, Mike's doing the grand final. Wasn't he break into a chorus of that?
He's also doing the VFL grand final too.
Mm. Is he? Tomorrow.
Shame I didn't have a spot for any other songs on the VFL.
Who are the combatants there? The Seagulls,
Williamstown, and Box Hill Hawks.
Ah. So a few of the Hawthorn boys are flying back for that game. Mm. Go the Gulls.
Gorgeous champs. That's a beauty. You are the Caribbean champions.
Well done, Richard Evans.
You're on ABC local radio. Good to have you listening wherever you are.
True.
We could sing that this afternoon.
I think we will. I think we will.
We could sing it on Monday night at the Brownlow.
I think
it's a good idea.
It's going to be in high rotation this week.
Since the last round, all through the finals, each week we've been coming back to this segment called It Had to End Sometime, and we've been interviewing players about when their very long careers came to an end. Our next guest is voice known, of course, to ABC listeners, being part of the grandstand team over the journey, a premiership player and a Norm Smith medalist for North Melbourne, but also played a huge amount of football for the Sydney Swans, ended his career on his 301st game of football, an elimination final in 2008, was Shannon Grant. Welcome to the Could Have Been, Shannon.
G'day, boys. How are you going?
Yeah, good.
We're going very well. And you will have, over the last 3 or 4 weeks, watched pretty much each week these players have been through the same thing as you did. Suddenly it's their last game and suddenly it's all over.
Yeah. Well, it all happened pretty quick. I mean, the last round leading into the final series, all we had to do was beat Port Adelaide and we would have finished top four and got a double chance. But we lost one that we probably shouldn't have. And as a result, we, instead of finishing top four, we finished down to seventh and played Sydney in the first final in Sydney and went straight out. So it was a big week, thinking that we were an opportunity to have a crack at obviously getting a double chance and playing in another premiership to suddenly being out and playing in Sydney in the first week. So it was unfortunate.
So did you have that feeling walking off the ground? Hang on, it wasn't meant to end like this?
Look, it would have been great to be able to win that last round and get an opportunity to get a double chance, but it wasn't to be. And, you know, we come up against a pretty good side in Sydney at the time and they were just too good for us on the night when we met them the first week of the final.
And had you been going through that season with it in mind that it would be your last year, Shannon?
I pretty much decided halfway through the year. So, you know, I sat down with the coach, Dean Laidley, at the time and, you know, I kind of knew it was time to give it away. The body wasn't handling the training requirements that were needed and, you know, I was getting slow, I was getting old and, you know, physically I was probably starting to draw towards an end, but mentally I was probably had enough of it as well. So it was certainly the right time to hang them up.
You still managed to play 21 games that year, though.
Yeah, I did.
You weren't managed.
No, I missed one game, which freshened me up and gave me the opportunity to get right for the last 7 or 8 weeks of the season. But once I made the decision mid-year, it was just a load. It was a lot of, you know, stress off my shoulders, and I just went out and enjoyed the last 8 or 9 games that I had left. And, you know, it was a good couple of months. We played some really good footy and, you know, it wasn't the greatest way to go out, but I was very lucky to have the career that I had at North.
And looking back at that year, I noticed that the best and fairest that year was Brent Harvey. Was he thinking of retiring then as well?
He's an absolute freak, isn't he?
Oh.
He just might not retire at all.
Mm.
He's not slowing down and, you know, he just continues to defy the odds. He's been an outstanding player for the footy club, and the great thing about Boomer is he's played at such a highly consistent level for such a long period of time. And he's done really well for himself.
And Shannon, another teammate of yours from that era is the bloke that's finally coming to everybody's attention, Adam Simpson. Mm. Did you see it in him playing alongside him that he was going to coach?
I had no doubt that he was going to coach and be a very good coach at that. We're pretty good mates, Simo and I, and we roomed together for over 10 years on interstate trips, and he's always had a really good knowledge of the game. He's had a great understanding of it, and he's one of those guys that builds really good relationships and gets along with everyone. So I certainly thought he'd be a great coach, and it's certainly coming out in the way the West Coast Eagles are playing at the moment.
As such a good friend of his, has he called you at all this year for a little bit of, a heads up on some of the teams they're playing against or ideas?
Not so much previous. The last couple of years, maybe, when I was an assistant and I was working at Essendon and the Doggies. But we don't really talk footy, to be honest, when we chat and when we catch up. I think, we've both had so much of it, and I think it's a nice way to be able to just talk about it, everything else that's going on in our lives. And, he's got young kids, I've got young kids, and it's always great to catch up and see how both families are going. So, it's always nice to have something else to talk about rather than footy.
Mm-hmm. And did you both arrive at North at the same time?
No, we didn't. He went straight to North, and I obviously started off at Sydney. I had 3 years there before I got there. But we did play Teal Cup together, and he was probably the only person I knew before I moved from Sydney to the Kangaroos.
So you'd known him from junior days?
Yeah, we played Teal Cup together.
So okay.
He was a Northern Knights boy, I was a Western Jets, and we were both lucky enough to represent Victoria. So
Did you play against each other while you were at Sydney?
We did. Yeah, we had a few games against one another. Didn't sort of come across him too often. We played a few practice matches on each other when we got to the Kangaroos, and I'd run one way, he'd run the other, and we both had 30 and we did go out.
And Shannon, you mentioned you're from the Western Jets. He's from the Northern Knights. Northern Knights just keep cranking out top level footballers at a rate of knots. The Western Jets over the journey haven't had such a strike rate, have they?
Oh, well, I think early on they did.
Your year, there was about 10, wasn't there?
Yeah, well, your Matty Lloyds, your Dustin Fletchers, Lee Fraser. There was plenty of guys who played a lot of good junior footy and got opportunities and got drafted. But I think once the zoning changed, it was the call to Cannons, and then once the quarter cannons come in, they took up a large chunk of the Western Jet zone.
Yeah. Right. And what was your junior club, Shannon?
I played at Flemington.
Okay. And are they now a quarter cannon club rather than a Western Jets club?
Well, they're Flemington Juniors now, but sort of the year I got drafted, it changed over. So if I had had another year, I probably would have been playing for the quarter cannons considering the zone I was in. So once the cannons come in, the zone's got split in half, and I think the way you tend to look at it, the Western Jets got a lot of the growing, developing areas over the last probably 15 years, and the quarter cannons probably got some more established areas. So they'll come good. They've got good people down there.
They've certainly got a growing population base, and as all of those young kids start growing up, they're going to play footy for sure.
Definitely.
So anyway, you've got the position tonight of... obviously, as a long-term North Melbourne man, seeing them play against West Coast Eagles, coached by your good friend Adam Simpson, going to be a tough night for you, Shannon.
Well, either way, I'm going to enjoy watching someone play in the grand final next week. I think it's going to be a pretty tough task for North over there tonight, but they've continued to play really good footy and defied the odds over the last couple of weeks. So you never know, but Simo's had a great year as well. He's got the West Coast Eagles playing a great brand of footy, and I'm sure whoever gets through will give themselves a big opportunity next week.
And Shannon, as you were playing for the Kangas, a lot's been said about the lack of facilities and so forth down there at North Melbourne. Did it retard you in any way, do you think? Did it have an impact on the football you played or the way you approached footy?
I don't think it did at all. If anything, it probably made us a lot tighter as a group. I think... the great thing about North back then, and it was the people that were involved. That's what made the club such a great footy club to be around. And we always used to say, weights are still the same weight, regardless of how good the gym is and how good the make out of it is. But we had a pretty experienced older senior group who taught the young kids really well. And, you know, if anything, we didn't have the greatest facilities, but, you know, we certainly got the most out of ourselves because of the work rate that we had.
And who did you grow up barracking for, Shannon?
I was a Hawthorn supporter growing up.
Yeah, another one to barrack for next week.
Yes.
No, I don't obviously follow them as closely as I did when I was a kid, but they're certainly playing some good footy. They're going to be hard to beat.
Yeah. Hey, who would you play on Sam Mitchell? No one seems to play on him.
Yeah, he had I think from memory he had another 35 or 36 last night, didn't he? He's just one of those players who accumulates and he's just so talented.
Doesn't waste it at all by hand or foot.
Well, I'm not too sure who goes to him next week. I mean, if Northwind Jacobs probably will, but West Coast don't tend to, you know, sit on opposition midfielders as much. So should be a tight battle considering who gets through.
And just also scanning your career, 301 games, and did North win in your 300th?
No, that was the last round. So instead of finishing top four,
mucked up your final series.
Yeah,
it mucked up your 300th.
Well, it did. Yeah, I had a good night planned, thinking that we'd get the chocolates in the last round and catch up with family and friends, but it wasn't to be.
But I note that you had a remarkable run, like 20 plus games in all but two of your 15 seasons.
Yeah, I was pretty lucky. I didn't really get any injuries or any, you know, long standing injuries that sort of stopped my ability to play. I had a couple early on through the pre-season when I was younger at Sydney, but I was fortunate in that area. I was quite lucky. I didn't really get any soft tissues, and I didn't have any major operations that required a long time out of the game. So
kept yourself in good nick.
From that side of things, I was pretty lucky.
Shannon, you're a premiership player. You're a Norm Smith medalist, and you've been very involved in coaching since your career ended. Have you got a view on the way the game's being played at the moment and whether it should be meddled with at all?
Look, I think the game's in a pretty healthy state. I think, the game just continues to evolve, and, you know, regardless of the changes or the rules that, you know, the laws committee put in, I think coaches are just so good at adapting and actually making the game evolve and suit them regarding the list that they have to work with. So I think the game's in a pretty healthy state, and you look at the games over the last few weeks of finals footy, and they've just been cracking games to watch, and they've been really entertaining. So
the finals have been wonderful, haven't they?
Yeah, they have. And you know, I think sometimes we talk about it too much, and we worry about making too much change. I think it's a great game the way it is, and the more we can continue to leave it alone as much as we can, I think the better off we'll be.
And Shan, your Norm Smith medal for 1999 that you won, where is it now? Is it in a shoebox? Is it in the pool room?
I don't have a pool room. I wish I did. But no, it's just sitting in a drawer.
In
my desk, in the study.
Everyone's got their things in a drawer.
Why don't you get it out and pop it up on the wall, or just, you know...
Does it get you into the MCG on grand final day?
I wish it did, but no, it doesn't. It doesn't come out too often. The little fella occasionally pulls it out to have a look at it, but apart from that, it stays where he is.
It may have G'd you up for the next season, because you polled well in the Brownlow in the year 2000.
Yeah,
you got about 14 or 15 votes.
It
announced your arrival.
My word.
I was lucky. I had a couple of good, you know, we lost first year at North, we lost 98, we were probably hot favourites to get through, but the few years after that, we had some success and started to build a consistent career with the Kangas.
Football's a funny game, isn't it?
Well, Shannon, thanks a lot. It's been great talking to you this morning, and we'll be watching your good friend Adam Simpson's team go around tonight with added interest after what you've told us. Thank you so much.
No worries, boys. Have a good day.
Good on you, Shannon.
Shannon Grant.
Actually, talking about using the medal, he's, as a 300 game player, he's also a life member.
Yes.
So that he could get on the life membership and lend his medal to surely the North. Actually, those things last week about, you know, grand final moments, I was having a bit of a look at them on the Facebook and the Twitter after the show, and someone had one about spotting someone at the top of the old members' stand on grand final day, dropping their medallion down outside to someone. They'd get you on the CCTV now.
That's right.
So don't go dropping your Norm Smith medal over the stand.
You're with the Good of Means. It's time for me to go around the panel now. I want to know what people have learned today. Billy Baxter, can you tell me what you've learned?
Well, I learned, thank you to Champs and Richard Evans, that they would like to see perhaps Tiny Tim at the grand final, which would be a feat because he died in 1996.
No longer with us.
Ian Cover, what did you learn today?
Well, lots today. And, well, I learned about Brad Shepherd before today by looking up that he's played 82 games. I learned that Daniel Metropoulos' first four goals with four kicks were the result of a mark outside 50 and then three handballs over the top.
Three Joe the Goose.
That's how to get them.
Torch McGee, what did you learn today?
In the same vein, I learned that Richard Lowder kicked four goals for his first game. I had no idea about that.
Doesn't he come to the meetings of the club?
No, obviously not. And I think, I mean, Paul Pierce is not in the book, but obviously he should be. He's not mentioned there.
No, he kicked four goals for the day.
That Daniel Metropoulos kicked his four with his first four kicks. Greg Champion, what did you learn?
The president of Coondrook Barham told us, quote, "Our club rooms are a bit tired. If we have a disco, you got to pick where you dance or you go through the floor."
Good point.
And Greg Lake, the president up at Coondrook Barham River Raiders, also told us that Jumbo is currently playing at age 44 and several of his teammates are the sons of blokes he played in a premiership with.
Yeah. What a good story that is.
That is fantastic. Well, that's what we learned today, but there's lots more. Gee, it's grand final week almost. We're in the middle of a preliminary final weekend. It's so busy down at Outside Football. It's very good of Sam Sub to take a little bit of time to talk to us. So much going on, Sam. Good morning to you.
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen. Flat stick down here, as you can imagine. G'day, Ian.
G'day, Sam. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks.
Good. Everything okay there?
Just the same.
Yep. Who covered the game for you last night?
We had young Chloe Quayle over there.
Yep.
Well, when I say over there, she was watching it on TV here.
Well, why not?
It doesn't extend to interstate travel here at the Outside Paper. We like to put our finances into what you read. So, you know, we've just gone line and length, Frio heave-hoed.
Yes, well and truly.
So that's it there.
I was just going to say, during the week, the Football Media Association had their awards night.
That's right.
I think our Jared Waitley won the Elf Brown Medal and a few other awards besides. What about you or the team at Outside Football? Any awards?
Not as it stands, Ian.
Do you enter them?
No, we don't enter them. If it's not too saccharine, I would just like to proffer that our awards are in the enjoyment people get from reading the Outside Paper.
Yeah, circulation's what it's all about, isn't it?
And remuneration thereof.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you go to those functions, Sam, during the finals weeks?
No, I think functions are more your go, Torch. Yeah.
there's free drinks there, though, Sam.
Well, Torch, if you would like to take me along, I'd be happy to come. And, of course, this time of the year, many fine players have offered service to the game have retired.
Yes.
And we've got a double-page spread, an honour roll of retiring players. Mm-hmm. All the Collingwood players who've retired post-war will be listed, a pricey on their careers, and a pen pick. So
terrific.
That's something. And we've got an offer. For readers, we've got a chance to win over $1 million.
Yeah.
Wow.
We've got a list of all the Tets Lotto outlets over the metropolitan regional areas. You get along there, you try your arm.
You could win $1 million.
You could. Yeah. Why not? Yeah. And, yes, next week we've got a huge, big grand final edition. And coming to you in beautiful, we're just rejigging the presses at the moment.
Are you?
Yes, we're going beautiful monochrome.
Might that look good.
With a lovely, we're going to take a feather out of the Herald and Weekly Times cap and maybe just have a little pastel.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, very nice. Yeah.
Like that, in the old days of that, the back page of the Last Race All Sport Herald used to have the fudge, that red bit down the side.
That's right. Mm. I remember that I invented the fudge.
Did you?
Yeah, I spilt some red ink down. It was too late to halt the presses, so we had to go with it, Ian.
Isn't it amazing that the great things in the world that are just invented by accident?
Well, that's not credited to me, but I can share that with you.
Well, it should be. credit to you. And, of course, the Brownlow's Monday night, and then the even bigger footy award comes up, the Copeland Trophy, the Collingwood Best and Fairest. You'll be covering that.
Yes, we'll have all our staff there, all our writers. Yeah. And, of course, Monday, I believe you're at the MCC with your Brownlow night.
Yep, yep.
And we'll be covering everything other than that.
Oh.
So thank you, gentlemen.
No, thank you.
Thanks a lot, Sam.
Yeah, good on you.
Sam, the South, with all the latest news.
I wonder if that car's gone off his front lawn. I forgot to ask him.
We should have invited him down to the G next Saturday.
That'll be a collector's item, that special on every Collingwood player who's retired since the war.
Yes.
You want to hang on to one of those.
Right. Yes.
They'll be finding them under lino in 50 years' time.
Well, it's time for this preliminary final edition of Could Have Been's Footy Talkback.
Oh, right.
It's big border calls, torture, and I think there's a few strongly held opinions out there. You ready?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, well, look, we'll get right into it. Full border calls. We'll get through as many as we can. First caller, go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
Hello.
Hello, am I the first caller?
Yes, you are. Who's calling, please?
Oh, hello, dear. Thank you very much for taking my call.
That's okay. Could you identify yourself, please?
Yes, it's Pearl, dear.
And you're calling from?
I'm on the peninsula,
down on the
dear.
Peninsula,
well, I said the peninsula,
thank
dear.
You,
yes,
Pearl.
I thought you were talking before about one of the girls in there who's going to wear a bun next year. I think that, look, there are so many lovely hairstyles for a girl to have, and I don't know which one of your girls is having a bun, but I must warn of the dangers of traction alopecia.
Oh, really?
It's very common. You see, so many of the young people pull that blessed bun so tight. There's a danger of alopecia. Also, one can lose hair from pulling
it that's
too
terrific.
Tight.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. We'll pass that on to the person concerned, because they don't use buns very often and may usually make that mistake.
Yes. Okay.
Hello?
Pearl's gone?
I think she's gone.
Yeah, okay.
Torch, we'll go to the next caller here on Could Have Been's Footy Talk Back. Go ahead, please.
Hello?
It can cause acute baldness around the forehead and temples.
Thank you, Pearl. Yes, okay.
We'll go to the neckline too, please. Hello? You're talking to Torch?
Hello?
Hello, Torch.
Oh, who's this?
It's Christoph here, Torch.
And where are you calling from, Christoph?
Oh, well, I'm from Claremont, but right now I'm setting up the braai in Kitchener Park just off Subiaco Road.
Oh, really?
We're going to eat some Boer Wars, drink a few Castle Lagers, enjoy the beautiful Perth sunshine.
Right.
Before we wander in to watch the mighty Eagles strive for victory, Torch.
Yes, big night for the West Coast Eagles supporters tonight.
Torch, I might have told you once before that I'm a big game hunter and I've hunted the big five. The elephant, the rhino, the buffalo, the lion and the leopard. Well, tonight we're going to add a sixth, Torch.
What's that?
We're going to add the kangaroo, Torch.
Ooh, one of the big six.
Watch out, the
kangaroos.
The supporters are on the prowl. Mm. We'll go to the next caller, though, Torch. You're talking to Torch here on Could Have Been's Footy Talk Back. Hello.
Hello.
And I've never minded long hair on a man as long as it's clean.
Thank you, Pearl. Thank you.
Who's my optimist and name, please?
Yeah, you're talking to him. Who's calling, please?
Yeah, it's Lance from Lara.
Oh, Lance, how are you going?
Lara.
Yeah, good, thanks. Got a footy question for us, Lance?
Yeah, but you were talking before about what number... You were talking before about what number would have had Patrick Dangerfield. Did he come to Geelong?
That's right, if he comes
to
Geelong.
Well, I think he should have number 31.
Oh, why?
Because David Mensch saw it.
That's a very good
point. Is 31
available,
then?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's a boy who's got it called Jared Cunico, but he hasn't played the game, so he could give it to it, but I've even got a better idea. Why don't they give him every number every week and you have a different number?
Okay, thank you, Lance.
Very exciting. They can't find enough to just trowel onto Patrick Dangerfield. They're very excited down there, and as they should be. He's a wonderful player. Next caller now on Could Have Been's Footy Talk Back. You're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, g'day, Torchy.
Oh, who's this?
Yeah, Donnie.
Donnie, where are you calling from?
Oh, Devonport, mate.
Over in Devonport. You're coming over for the big finals week this week, Donnie?
Yeah, well, you got the tickets for us?
No, you have to get your own tickets.
Like you get them for us every year. You get that bloke Marty to pass them through the gate to us.
I don't know that Marty bloke.
Well, he gives us the tickets.
Well, you
me might. And Nobby, we get the two tickets every year.
Yeah, yeah.
After we meet you at Billy Bell's, you know how it goes. Hey, mate.
Yeah.
Got a question for you.
All right.
Fire footy away. Question. Yeah, footy question. You don't have enough footy on this show.
That's true. You're right. Fire away.
Last night they showed that bit on the telly where Ross Lyon went in that room.
Yes.
And they shut the door.
Yep.
And I heard the commentator say, he's going to tell them a few home truths.
Right.
Mm.
What are home truths? What? Put the bins out Sunday night? Mow the grass once a fortnight? Make your bed? Clean your room? Hey, they're home truths.
They are.
Mum used to go with them all the time, mate. Couldn't wait to move out home. Why didn't you give them some footy truths?
Well, Donny, it's...
You think about it,
yeah, I am. It's a figure of speech, Donny.
I'm sick of figures of speech. Keep it simple for us down here in Tassie.
We'll try.
See you Monday. See you Monday.
Oh, yeah.
Young and Jackson.
Young and Jackson, okay.
Is that true? You can get tickets to us.
Billy Bell hasn't been in that pub for about 10 years.
Next caller wants to talk to you. It's Goodwin's Footy Talk back. You're talking to Torch. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hey, Raffy. Oh, sorry. Hey, Torch.
Oh, who's this?
It's Nige here, Torch.
And where are you calling from,
Nige? I'm in North Fitzroy.
Nige, did you have an article in the paper?
Well, I've just called to defend my reputation.
Okay. Yes.
Because a number of people on SoMe, social media, have been accusing me of selling out and going mainstream.
Yes.
After, you know, my work on the Fremantles in the traditional print press.
Mm.
Well, all I can say to that is that we've been told for years that print is dead medium, and I'd contend that it's now edgier to find yourself in print than in a blog.
Oh, really? Well, that's got something to it.
So it's got cred, would you say?
Oh, I think so. It's old school.
Oh, okay.
I mean, in fact, you often see people in Edinburgh Gardens with a rolled-up newspaper in their back pockets of their op-shop tweed. Absolutely.
Yes. Okay.
How did the Fremantles go, by the way?
Unfortunately, they lost. You didn't manage
to... Oh, thank goodness.
Oh, why thank goodness,
Well,
Nige?
When they're successful, are they just a little bit too try-hard?
Okay. Well, that's the idea. You're supposed to try-hard.
There you go. Yeah, yes. The print is dead, so that means it's long-lived print.
It's back. Yeah. It's no longer mainstream.
There is another caller for you, Torch. Go ahead, please. You're talking to Torch.
Hello.
Talking.
Oh, who's calling, please?
Peter, help.
Peter, calling from?
Peterborough.
Ah, how's the weather down there today?
Splendid.
Yes. And now, Peter, the Cats are not in the finals. Will you be making an appearance in Melbourne this week?
Yes.
Yes, and what will you be up to?
I'll be at the Melbourne show.
Oh, of course.
Where it's everyone show. Should be.
Royal Melbourne show. Are you exhibiting this year, Peter?
Yes, I'll have Patrick Dangerfield on a lead. In the Grand Parade.
What number will he be wearing?
Any number he likes.
And what's the best show bag this year?
No, avoid them.
Yes, yes.
You know, they're very expensive.
Yeah, they are.
Need
yes.
I say more?
Yes. Okay, Peter, thank you for your call.
And you know why? You know why Hawthorne won last night?
Go on, let us know.
Well, the league, they don't want two Perth teams in Melbourne.
No, why not?
Well, need I say more?
Okay, thank you.
Yes. A lot of people jumping to conclusions there. Look, that's all the calls we've got have time for. I'm sorry those on the line waiting. Perhaps you'll have better luck a bit later on. But we've got to move it along now. Guru Bob is online in the temple, ready to speak. Torchy's right there.
Guru Bob, come in.
Guru Bob is here.
Oh, hello, Guru.
And good morning to you.
Yes, how's the week been down at the temple?
Did you watch the game last night?
I did, yes.
Bogart Law told us, whoever loses this match, the result will be good for football.
Mm.
And the Supreme Master commented on that. He said, Bogart Law needs to get his cobalt levels checked. He's a bit different, our Bogart Law. Dangerfield has been at the temple this week.
Yes.
He told us the real reason he wants to go to the Cats.
Oh, and yes. And can you let us know that?
I can share it with you.
Oh, thank you.
But I choose not to.
No.
No, I'm going to share
it. Go on, share it.
He told us he's always been attracted to the Geelong lifestyle. Think about that.
Well, what is the Geelong lifestyle?
Well, ask
Patrick.
From my book, it takes a lot to laugh. It takes a train to get to Frankston. And some here's some advice for Ross Lyon.
Something for his whiteboard.
Oh. Feeling for Rossi at his whiteboard, yes. Remember, Ross, each defeat takes you one step closer to a sweet victory, or it's just another meaningless loss. And the final word for Ross Lyon, from the words of Sudoku master Jeff Gajeff, he said, sometimes you got to remember, 2 + 2 = 5 for very large values of 2. Think about that.
Trick, that was on the whiteboard.
He needs to get the Sudoku master in.
He'll be on the list next year. He'll be one of the assistant coaches.
I'm going to be flummoxed for all of grand final week by that.
And while all the Patrick talk's going on, Matty Cruiser has stayed at Carlton.
Yeah. Right, he's re-signed.
Yeah, which after is good. Testing the market.
Grandstand is coming up in just a few moments' time, so it's time for us to say good morning to everybody. Bye, Torch.
Yeah, go Bloods next year.
Billy Baxter.
Enjoy your football.
Looking forward to your man bun next Saturday. Ian Cover, good morning to you.
Go Cats next year.
Thank you, as always, to our producer and engineer, Andrew Bell. Is. Good morning to you, Greg Champion.
Yes, go football.
Thanks for listening. Stay tuned now.